We begin the current daf in Sechdes Erev and daf Lamed. We begin 5 lines up from the top of the Amid, but the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was on the top of this Amid, that Abaye had refuted the Raya of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef sought to bring a Raya from the Parsiim, that there was a certain minority group that this is how they accustomed themselves regarding the halachas of Erev, that they consider it a food on its own right, and therefore you would have to have 2 meals worth of just the roasted meat, which Abaye said, wait a second, we don't go after a minority people that's how they accustomed, since we do it otherwise, we eat it together with bread. So for us, all we would need for 2 meals worth of roasted meat would have to be just with bread, not a whole meal's worth just of the roasted meat. As you brought a raya from Shimon Laza, that Shimon Laza said that regarding a Rav's son, someone that's a glutton, they eat so much, we don't have to get that much as he would normally eat for 2 meals worth. We have normally what normally people do, an Adam Beini, and therefore you see you don't go after the minority people. And that is where our current daf begins, that Umiyom Reb Shimon Laza Hachi, did Reb Shimon Laza really say this? That was being quoted in the previous braisa, that a Ravson, a glutton, that you don't go after how much he eats for 2 meals worth, rather you go after a Beini, how much a regular person would eat, and that's how much he needs to have for his own Erev. But by the time we learn the braisa, Reb Shimon Laza Omer, this is the same time Reb Shimon Laza he says, regarding a different topic in Halacha, but it seems to be the same concept, that he says, Oig Melech HaBashan. Og, the king of Bashan, who was known as a giant of a man, he was a real giant, Pischu Kimilui, that the opening has to be like the full form of his body. And that is, there's a halacha regarding Tumas Oihel, that when a body, a corpse, is inside a tent, so then we say that the Tumah goes into all the openings that it opens up into, and that is, however, unless if there is going to be one that will be the complete size of the corpse, we're going to say that is the opening of where you really are ultimately going to take him out of from. And then it saves all the other openings. Because we say that we view it as if that is the one that they're going to use to take him out of the oil. And therefore we say that it's not going to be in all the other openings. And therefore the other openings, what they open into, are not going to have the tumah. However, if there is no opening that's fit for him, so then every hole that's even the size of a fistful in the wall will become tummy. Again, because since there is no clarity, it's not clear where it's going to be going out of. There is no size that actually fits him, so therefore we might need to go in any one of them, because there's no clear one that says this fits his dimensions. And therefore we say that the only way it's going to save the other ones if it has exactly the size of Oig Melech HaBashan, who is literally a giant, that's how much it would have to be. And therefore the question is that we find in this context of Tumah, that we find that you do go after exactly how the person is. Even Oig Melech HaBashan, you don't go after a regular person. Regular people are not even close to how big Oig was. And therefore, why do we say, based on the principle that Abai was bringing from the previous price of Shimon Lazar, that we don't go after a Ravs and after someone that's a glutton. We go after regular people. That's the shear that we are conveying regarding Erev. So then therefore, why Reb Shimon Lazar seems to contradict himself regarding the Lachas of Tumah, that there he says that no, even though Reb Shimon Laza is an anomaly, he's totally different than most people, you still have to go after him to be Kaveo, which is the door that he's leaving from to say that will be the one that the Tumah will go through. But if there's no clear one because there's none that fits his dimension, then all of them will have this Tumah because of this doubt that maybe we're going to need to go through any opening that there is. And that the Gemara says of Abai, but Rabbi would respond, Hasam Hechelavit. Thereby, Oig, what do you want us to do? Hadoimin Hadme, should we chop him up into small pieces, Venafke, and take him out? In other words, it's a technical problem regarding the halachas of Tumah, that there you actually have to know where you're taking him out of. And if you don't have one that fits him because he is a giant, so then we're going to say that each one will become tummy because which one is the one that we're taking out of him from? But regarding here, the halachas of Erev, that has nothing to do with it. Here it's a halacha, it's principle of we have to make 2 suddas worth. That is how we're mashar regarding regular people, but you don't have to have exactly how much the ravs and the glutton would have on his own normal 2 meals. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha, Ibailu, they had the following question. Plig Rabban led Reb Shimon Laza, do the Rabbanan argue in Reb Shimon Laza regarding a corpse in the house, Oilai or not, and that is they would hold that you don't have to have the dimensions of Oig, as long as you have the share of what a regular person would be, as similar to the concept that Reb Shimon Laza himself said regarding Erev, then that would be enough. You don't have to actually have the size of Oig, that type of an opening. So Tashma, Damar Rabba, Ruchan Amr Bi'echnan, Oig Melech HaBashan, Pischoi Ba'arba. So it seems to be clear that the Rabban argue on Reb Shimon Laza, and they say that for him, all you need is an opening or 4 tefachim. You don't have to have his dimensions. The Rosh Gemara says no. Chasim, over there, the case of Rabbi Yechanan, that maybe that they do not argue on Reb Shimon Laza, but there was talking about Dikab Sochim Ketanim Tuba, that there were many small openings, and each one was less than 4 tefachim. The Ikechad, the Hava Arba, and there was only one that was 4 tefachim. The Vade Kikomar Vech, so definitely you're going to have to take him out somewhere. So when you're going to be opening and broadening one of the entrances, Bahu Kumaravach, obviously it's going to be that one that you're going to be opening. And because that's the one that has the most decent size, although it's very, very small in comparison. But therefore that's going to one that we're going to work with. So therefore it saves on the other ones. However, if they would all be the same, let's say they're all four tefachim, or they're all ten amos, or whatever it is, then yes, then everyone would agree to Reb Shimon Lazar that they would all be tamei, because we don't know which one they're going to broaden and to take his body out of it. And therefore, even if one of them is open and the other ones are closed, or he thought about one of them, that's the one they want to take him out from, but we learn in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, Masechtas Bei, on Daf Lamed Zayin Mabeis, that generally we say that's the one that's tamei, and the other ones are tahar, because we decided this is the one we're going to use. That's only if it at least is fit. It has the dimensions to take out the dead body that way. And even if the other ones are also fit, but since we designated this as the one, so that saves the other ones to say that the opening that's going to be used to take out the body is only that way. But where neither of them is fit for it, and you're going to have to widen it anyway, and they're all the same, and we don't know which one you're going to use to widen, and therefore we say that all of them will become tummy. That was the case in Og Melech HaBashan, where if it's four tvachim, that's not large enough for the body of Og Melech HaBashan. And therefore, everyone would agree to Reb Shimon Lazar that yes, that all of them would become tamei. It's only over here where only one was four tefachim and the other ones was smaller. The reason why we say it's enough with that one is because that's definitely the one that we're going to widen because it's larger than at least all the other ones, which were less than four tefachim. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic that I was discussing in the previous daf regarding the different properties that are necessary for what type of food can be used for an eruv. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi Amar Rav Ma'arvin bebasar chai. You can make an eruv with raw meat. Rav Shimon bar Chiya, Ma'arvin bebeitzim chayis, you can make an erev with raw eggs. V'kama, and how much? So Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok, achas, he says enough with one. Sinai, that's a reference to Rav Yosef because he was a proficient in Mishnayis and Brises like Har Sinai, which everything, all the halachas were given on it. Amar Shtayim, he says it has to have two. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said, we're talking about the exceptions of water and salt from different categories, which came up because of the topic of erevin that you can make with all types of food items and erev besides water and salt. So the next one was hanoydim min hamazin. If someone makes an oath from mazin, from sustaining foods, muta b'mayim b'chulus, then he's going to be permitted to consume water and salt because they're not considered mazin. So the Gemara makes an inference. It's only salt and water that's not called mazin, it's not called sustaining foods. Hakol mili ikri mazin, but everything else is considered mazin. This should be a refutation of the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that the Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Tavaya, that both of them say, you only make the bracha of Bari Min Mazayin, so Hashem makes different types of mazin only on the five types of grains. Now, that obviously is excluding everything else besides that. And here we say that everything is considered mazin besides water and salt. So therefore, it seems to be a refutation on the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that everything else, you should make a Bari Min Mazayinus besides water and salt. So the Gemara says, didn't we already refute their opinion one time? And this is in the Gemara in Brachas, the Ketzim of Archim, Adav Lam Zayin, Amad Aleph, that we said that rice you make a Mazayinus. It's not clear that just the five things you make a Bari Min Mazayinus. So what do you want to have another refutation over here? So the Gemara says, no, because let's find another source, another refutation. Because let's say we would find an answer to the first one, we would still have this refutation. So Amar Rav Huna says, no. It wouldn't be a refutation from our Mishnah. Because Ba'imer Kol Hazon Olai, our Mishnah is talking about that you didn't say that you're making a neder from mazon. You said that anything that sustains is forbidden to me. And that is, our Mishnah said a reference to everything. It's not because he said that I want it to be asur, I mean mazon. That because definitely it's possible, like Rav Shmuel, that the only things that are called mazon are the five types of grains. Because since it's dagon, it's sustaining and it satisfies a person. Rather, here we're talking about that he said kol hazon, anything that has any sustenance, which is mashma, that anything that makes a person satisfied. And that is maimu melachu delei zayni. Water and salt has no sustenance whatsoever. They might help the different parts in the body and digestion, but it doesn't give any sustenance. Hakom mili zayni, but everything else, it does have some satisfaction and sustenance. And that's everything besides water and salt. However, to satisfy totally, which is called misad sodi, that is only things which are called mazin, and that's only the five types of grains, and therefore it's not a refutation, because here we're not saying mazin was the neder, rather the neder was kol hazon, anything that has some sustenance. And that the Gemara asks, V'amar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Rabbi Bar Bachana had said, When we used to go after Rabbi Yochanan to eat the fruits of Genusa, which was by the land of the Kinneret Sea, and the fruits over there were very sweet. So he always wanted to have 1,000. That's how much he ate. He loved eating the fruits of the Genusa. So when we were 100 people, so each one of us took 10, which came out to 1,000. When we were only 10 people, then each one of us took 100, again, to get to that same amount. Each 100 of us, we carried a basket of 3 saw, and they ate up all of them. He would make an oath and swear, says, I swear that I didn't eat anything that had sustenance. And that means I'm totally hungry. I'm not happy whatsoever. And therefore the question is that it seems to be not only water and salt is not called kalazan, but rather even the Peres Genusa. You see that he said, I'm still hungry. I had no sustenance whatsoever. So how can we say in that Mishnah that only Mayim and Melech is the exception, and the exception of kalazan shows to be Peres Genusa? And that the Gemara says, no, Eimim Mizayna. Say that when he said that he wasn't satisfied, he used the term Mizayna. That means it was not something that was sustaining. Of course, Peres Genusa has some sustenance. It's fruits. Only thing that does not have sustenance whatsoever that doesn't satisfy is water and salt. But everything else, including Peres Genusa, would be considered zan. It's just not mizaynus, again, because that's possibly like the 5 types of grains or things like that. Amrav hu namarav. Shvua shloi oichel kikrezu. Now the Gemara continues on different halachas regarding making Erev. If someone makes an oath that I will not eat this loaf of bread, ma'amar lei, but still you're allowed to make an Erev with that loaf of bread, because the only thing that he made an oath on was that he's not going to eat it. And however, although it's not fit for him to eat, but it's fit for someone else to eat. And then it's similar to the Halacha in our Mishnah of a Nazir Bayayin, that a Nazir can make an Erev with wine, although he cannot drink it, but since someone else can drink it, so therefore it's considered food and he can make an Erev out of it. So too here, that although he made an oath, that I'm not going to eat it, but he could still have a Nazir from it, and therefore he can make an Erev out of it because at least someone else could eat it. Kikrezu a lie, but if he made an oath that this bread is usher to me, which is mashma that any type of pleasure whatsoever cannot be derived from this bread, then the halacha is what Rav Huna is saying in the name of Rav, then that you cannot make an erev with that because you're going to be having some pleasure of making an erev out of it. To which the Gemara asked Meisve, we learned in the Braisa, Hanoidim in Akikar, if someone makes an oath from a loaf of bread, he can make an erev. So the Gemara says, my love to Amar, a lie, wouldn't it make sense to say that it's just any type of oath you make from bread, even if you say, Harei a lie, that it's on me, that totally usher for me to have enough from this thing. And yet still what we learn from the Braisa is that only way a person makes asr for himself, an item, is only through the way that it's ikr hana'asa, the way you generally have hana'a from it. And therefore the neder was only regarding the isra of eating from it. However, although you're saying ha'oimah harei halai, you're still going to be able to have hana'a from it in the context of an erev. Or another pshat that some Gersayis and Rashi bring is the concept of mitzvahs lav lahanas nidu, that mitzvahs are not given for pleasure, and therefore, although you said harei alai, and you're forbidding all hana, even not food, but the pleasure of having an erev made with it is a dvar mitzvah, and the dvar mitzvah, there's no isra of hana on it. So either way, it's a contradiction on the opinion of Rav, who said when you say harei alai, that then you cannot make an erev out of that. And that the Gemara says, Loi, the Amar Zu, the Braisa is not talking about when you said harei alai, that it's totally forbidden for me. It's when you say zu, when you say that the oath that we mentioned before, when you make an oath that shalot oichel kikr zu, that I'm not going to eat it, and therefore, when you say I'm not going to eat it, then it's going to be mutter. But if you say harei alai, which connotes all types of anah, then yes, it's going to be also like Rav said. As the Gemara says, Hachanam Mistabi, it makes sense to interpret the Braisa like this. Because the Ketani Sefer, we learned in the Sefer of the Braisa, that Amasai, when are you allowed to make an Erev with this item that you made an oath on it? Bizman Sha'amar Shavu Shloyatamena, when you make an oath that I'm not going to taste it. Aval Amar Alai Mai, but what would the halacha be if you said Hari Alai, not just not tasting, but totally us on you? That would make sense to say that then you would not be able to make an Erev, which would be exactly like Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that only when you say you're not going to eat it, that's mutter, but if you say Harei Alai, and you're asking all types of Anah, then it would be Asr. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, so Adetani, if from the fact that the Braisa says then, when it says the contrast, Kikar Zu Hektish, Eima Arvan Loi Ba, when you say that this loaf of bread should be considered like Hektish, then you cannot make an Erev with such a loaf, Lefisha Eima Arvan Behekdesh, is because you cannot make an Erev with items of Hektish, because Hektish is definitely usher with all type of Anah, and it's not fit for any type of person. So that's what the Braisa says, but if the case is like you're saying, that the Braisa agrees with the Rav Huna of Rav, Liflik v'lisni b'dida, then we should differentiate in chulin, in a loaf of bread of chulin itself. And we don't have to go to Hekdesh to say a case of asa. And the Braises should have said, b'med v'mamurim, when did we say that it's mutter to make an erev, even when you made an oath on it? The Amar Zu, when you said that I'm not going to eat this bread, but you still could have other hanos. Aval Amar Alai, but when you say Alai, but then you're not allowed to make an erev, because if the Braises agrees to have the Marav, then you could have said, even in chulin itself, there's a case of when you cannot make an erev out of it. So Amalecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, okay, fine. So Elamai, so what are you going to say? That the Braisa disagrees with me, and that Kol Hecha Do Amar Alai Ma'arvin, that even when you make an oath of a Harei Alai, then you can make an Erev out of it, again, because then it's either because you only make a neder on the Iker Hana, which is Achila, but not other types of Hana, or because Mrs. Lav Lahan is Nitnu. But either way, that's what you would want to say the Braisa is saying, not like me, but then Kasha Reisha. Then you have a challenge from the Reisha, which again, we said before, that it said Emasai, when is it going to be mutter to make an erev out of this oath that you made a shvur? Is when you said Shaloi Atemenda, I'm not going to taste it, but it's mashma from the Braisa. But if you say Hari Alai, then it would be Yasser. So that seems to contradict the way you're trying to interpret from the Sefer of the Braisa. And that the Gemara answers, that's not a difficulty. In other words, we could interpret the Braisa as arguing on you, Rav Huna Marav. Because Chasur Mechster, there are words missing, V'hachik Tanya, this is the way you're supposed to read the Braisa. If someone makes an oath from a loaf of bread, then they can make an erev with it. The Braisa is saying, even if he says Hari Alai, this is what the words mean to say, that even when you say Hari Alai, it's as if you made an oath that I swear I'm not going to taste it, and that is that he did not entertain his idea to answer it only if it's derech hano, the way it's normally eaten. But even if you say Hari Alai, it's not going to forbid all types of anas, even that of air. And therefore, the Gemara concludes, so therefore, it is a challenge for Rav Huna that the Braisa is not machalik to say in a kikr of chulin itself, that to say, oh, when did we say it's mutter? When you say that I'm not going to eat kikr zu. But when it's going to be asr, is if you say Hari Alai, it doesn't say that. And therefore, it only says it by hekdesh. It would seem to infer that the Braisa argues under Rav Huna Marav. That the Gemara answers, you're right. That Braisa is not like Rav Huna Marav. But although he's not Meir, who Amik Rav Eliezer, he says like a different Tana that says like him. The Tanya Rav Eliezer Omer, Shvuah Shlo Yechol Kikr Zu, if I take an oath that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, then Ma'arvan Leba, then you can make an erev again, because although you cannot eat it, but you can still have Hanoah from it, and since other people can eat it, then it's a good erev. However, Kikr Zu Alai, if you say that I forbid totally this loaf of bread on me, Ein Ma'arvan Leba, then you cannot make an erev with it, which is exactly like the statement of Rav Huna Marav. To which the Gemara asks, on this what we just said, Omiyam Rav Eliezer Hachi, can it really be that Rav Eliezer said this? But Vatanya Ulit Nabraisa, Zehaklal, this is the general rule the Braisa says. Adam Oyser Atzmei Ba'eichel, if a person forbids himself in a food item, and that is, he makes the nether hinging on the action that he's going to do on himself, which means in reference to his eating. That's what the Iser is, regards to the Gavr, to him. Then Ma'avon Leba, then he can make an Erev with it, because the Hanav and Erev is a Hanav de Memela, comes by itself. And it's not a Hanav that he's doing, it's not an action, it's more passive. And therefore, then you can make an Erev with it. However, the Tanakh Kama says, Oichel HaNesu Leilei Adam. But if he's saying that it's the food item that's forbidden to the person, that it's on the object, it's the chevtzim more, that it's like the case of when he says that this kikr should be asra on me, or if he makes this oath that I'm not going to have enough from this loaf of bread, where again, here he's not being tailored the isr in the action of his body, but rather even hana that comes by default, then imar maleba, then he cannot make an air with it. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, Bileza says, he argues and he says, kikr zu olai. Even if he says that loaf of bread is on me, it's totally us on me, that you could make an erev with it. And that is because, as we mentioned before, according to one pshat in Rashi, as the Gemara says later on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that we only are allowed to make an erev for Dvar Mitzvah. If you're going for a chasna, for some type of a mitzvah purpose on Shabbos, and we know the halachic concept of mitzvah slav lahanes nindu. It's not considered deriving pleasure when it's for a purpose of a mitzvah. And therefore, because of the hano you're going to get out of it, that doesn't bother us. And also, if we're regarding the problem that it's not fit for him, that's also not a problem because it's fit for other people, similar to the concept of Nazir L'Yayin. And therefore, Reb Eliezer says that even if you say it's totally usra on you, kikr zu olai, still you can make an erev out of it. However, kikr zu hekdesh, if he says a loaf of bread will have a halachic status of hekdesh, then ema arvan leba, then he's not allowed to make an erev with it. L'fisha ema arvan leba hekdesh, because as we mentioned before, you cannot make an erev out of hekdesh items because there is not fit for him or for other people. And we need to have at least a suda that has some type of suitability, at least for somebody. And Hekdesh is not suitable for anybody. So therefore, but at least what we bring out from here is that Rabbi Eliezer seems to be not like the other opinion Rabbi Eliezer mentioned before, because there we show that he's like Rav Huna Merav, the first brisa, that holds that Harei Alai is also to make an Erev out of it. And yet here we have clearly a brisa that says that even when you say Harei Alai, you could make an Erev out of it. The Rishon Gemara answers, Terei Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer, you're right, there are two Tanoim in the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and they argue on this concept of a Harei Alai. But Al Kapana, what you have is at least the first brisa of Rabbi Eliezer is like the opinion of Rav Huna Merav, and that's the opinion of the Tanoim that they follow. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. We said, Ma'arvan l'nazir b'yayin m'chulu, that a Nazir is allowed to make an Erev out of wine, because although it's not fit for him because he's a Nazir, however, it's fit for other people, and therefore it's considered suitable food for a meal, and he can make an Erev out of it. Just the Gemara comments, that Masnitin like Bishamai, our Mishnah that says this halacha is not like Bishamai. They're telling like Lurton Abraisa. Bishamai Oyim Bishamai say, Ein ma'arvan l'nazir b'yayin. A Nazir cannot make an Erev out of wine. Uli Yisrael b'truma, and Yisrael cannot use truma, again, because he's not allowed to eat truma. Bishil say, ma'arvan l'nazir b'yayin, that you could make an Erev for Nazir with wine. Uli Yisrael b'truma, and for Yisrael with truma. So therefore, again, our Mishnah is like Bishil, not like Bishamai. So the Braisa continues, Amalan Bishil b'shamai. The Beisil said to Bishamai to try to prove them, bring them over to their side. Iyat Moiden, don't you agree, and we'll continue on to Amad Beis, that you can make an Erev for an adult on Yom Kippur, and that is for someone that's an adult, that he already brought two Sirus, that he's obligated in the Chiv of Yom Kippur, of Inuya fasting, and even though tomorrow on Yom Kippur, it's not going to be fit for him, this food, but since it's fit for a katan, that's not a bar ancient, the katan is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, so therefore, although he cannot eat this food on Yom Kippur, it's still considered suitable for him to make an Erev out of it, because it's fit for other people to eat. So Amar Lahen, Aval, so Bishamai responded to Beisil, yes, I agree on that, that a gadol can make an Erev for Yom Kippur to go out of the tchum because it's fit for children to eat. So Amar Lahen, so Beisil said to Bishamai, so Kishem Shemar Amar Lagadol B'Yom Kippur, just I agreed to the concept that you can make an Erev for an adult on Yom Kippur because again it's fit for others, for children on Yom Kippur. So Kach Ma'arman L'Nazir B'Yayin L'Yisrael B'Truma, so therefore the same logic should apply that you can make an Erev for a Nazir out of wine and for Yisrael out of Truma because although it's not fit for them, it's fit for other people, for a Kohen and for a non-Nazirim. To which the Gemara says that Bishamai would respond that Hasam Ikasuda Harui Miboidyam. There, by the case of an Erev Yom Kippur, regarding a gadol that he wants to make an Erev, it is fit for him at least as a meal that from before it turns Yom Kippur. That, so for him it is suitable, it's just the time of the day that is Yom Kippur that is not fit for him to eat it. But Hacha, here by Nazir, with wine, and similarly Yisrael with Shuma, it's different fundamentally because Leka Sud Harui Mibayim, it's not considered suitable in any context. In other words, the case of the Yom Kippur, it's really suitable. It's just a certain time period that doesn't allow him to eat it. And therefore, we do view it as suitable to him. And therefore, he can make an Erev Yom Kippur. Whereas by the case of the Nazir B'Yayin, Yisrael B'Truma, it's never considered suitable for him in any way, even before Shabbos. And therefore, we cannot make an Erev out of that. So to this, the Gemara comments, Kaman, who is this Bryce alike that says Mashma that Bishamai at least agrees to the concept of Erev? And that is, they say that you could make an Erev out of food, an Erev would work, it's just that on certain contexts, if it's only fit for others, that's what they argue, but they agree to the principle of Erev. And then the Gemara says, like Chananya, this Brisa is not like Chananya that says that Bishamai doesn't agree to the whole concept of Erev. And that is, Ditanya, we learn the Brisa, Chananya Omer, called Asman Shel Bishamai. The whole essence of Bishamai was, they did not agree to the principle of Erev. In other words, until you take out your bed and all your stuff to the area where you want to designate as your residence for Shabbos, then it will work as Erev. But just taking out your food or your meal, that's not enough. You got to take out everything and show that you're really living there. Only then will Erev work. So on this topic, the Gemara asks, Kaman Oslah Haditanya, who does the following brisa go like? That Erev Bishchorim, if you made an Erev with dark clothing, in other words, when he made the Erev on Friday night, he was wearing dark clothing. He went out there to the end of 2000 Amos until he acquired that is his Shvisa, that's his Halachic Shabbos residence, that is how when Shabbos started, that's where he was. And then after the Tzeisa Kechavim, he comes back home. So then the following day when he wants to go out to be able to utilize his Erev Tchum to go out another 2,000 Amos past that, then he can't go out with white clothing because he made it just with black clothing. If he made the Erev when he was wearing white clothing, he can't go out with black clothing. So Gemara asks, Kama, who is this like that says such a unique perspective on the lachas of Eir? So Rav Nachman Yitzchok Chananya here, Valibi Rishamai, it's like Chananya that we're going according to Rishamai, as we mentioned before, that he holds that it has to be exactly as you're going to be. In other words, you have to have everything that you need that you're going to be going out over there. So the Gemara asks, "Ulechananya b'shchayim hudliyatzah." But so according to Chananya, if you made the air with white, then you can't go out with black. Ha'belavan miyatzah, but then with white clothing, you're allowed to go out with. But ha'amar actually yoytzi mitasa v'kli tashmishav l'sham. But he said that it's not an air, even if you go out with white clothing, to go out then tomorrow with white clothing, until you take out everything, your bed and all your garments and all your household items, which is mashma that until you take out everything that you need, it's not an erev b'chlal. So how can we say that it's an erev at least for white clothing to be made with white? There shouldn't be anything. So the Gemara answers, hachikama. What the Braisa meant to say was, erev b'levanim, mehutzuch l'shchayim, if you made an erev with white clothing, but you still needed your black clothing, in other words, you didn't take out everything yet, then af b'levanim layotze, then even with white clothing, then it's not going to be considered an erev. Come on, who is that like? Om Rav Nachman Yitzchok Chananya, v'li b'shamay. It's like Chananya, according to the opinion of b'shamay, that you have to have taken out all your items for it to be considered. That's your halachic residence on Shabbos. If not, it's not considered erev at all. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our mission that said, Sumchas Aymer, he argues on what we just said, and he says, B'chulin no, a Yisrael cannot make an erev with truma. You can only make it with chul, and it has to be fit for that person himself. So the Gemara makes an inference. There were two cases of our Mishnah that said this concept of that it doesn't have to be fit for you as long as it's fit for someone else. One was the case of a Nazir making it with wine, and one was with Yisrael making it for Truma. So Sumchas only argued on a Yisrael that he can't make it with Truma, only with Chulin. But why didn't he argue on the case that he didn't argue on the case of a Nazir by Yain? So Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? What would be the halachic difference? Both are not worthy of having it fit for themselves. So why didn't he argue also on Nazir by Yain? And that the Gemara answers, because after the Mitzvah Nizirus, he could go ahead and ask regarding his Nazirus, and he could make a Hatara on the Neder of him being a Nazir. And therefore, it is fit for him, the wine on Shabbos, because you can find the Chacham to be Matar his Nazirus. So which the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, Truma Nami Efshad Mitzvah Luye. Regarding Truma, you could also find a Pesach Bicharata by having regret and say, I didn't intend for this. And the Mishnah Masech Nizaz and Davla Amanav says that Hektish Tois and Hektish. If you find a loophole and you find that it was a mistake that you made this Hektish, it's not Hektish. So therefore, there is a way out of the Truma also. So it should be fit even for the Yisrael, the Truma also, if he holds that same logic by a Nazir with wine. And that the Gemara says no. Because although you can actually go do the same process by Truma, but it's still not going to help you. Because imitzulallah hajulatevla, if you're going to ask and undo the Truma that is there, so then it's going to revert back to Tevel, which is untithed produce, which is not fit for the person anyway, because you can't consume Tevel. So you're right, so it's not going to be Truma, but it's going to be Tevel, so it's not going to work anyway. To which the Gemara asks, but it should be considered fit because you could separate trumas on this now untithed produce from elsewhere, and that is after you shoil on it. In other words, since in principle you could be shoil on this truma, and then it's going to revert back to tevel by bein hashmashes, which the time when the eiv makes its acquisition of that's being your halachic residence, then you could say that fruits that I have in my house should be truma on this produce, and therefore it comes out that there is a takana for this truma by when then becomes back to untithed produce of tevel, which is fit for him. So therefore, why do you say that it's not fit for him to be able to make his erev out of that truma? And that the Gemara answers, lo nechshdu chaveim litrim shalom and mukuf, that Talmid Chacham are not suspect that they're going to take truma from when it's not directly in the area of the vessel where the produce it is. In other words, from Meineu Bay, from the produce itself. Generally, we say that that Chaveirim only go ahead and take truma out of it over here, but not from a different area, which that is concerns because of confusion. We would say that you only take it off from here. And therefore, we don't say that it's going to work to make an Erev when by taking off from elsewhere, and therefore, since you can't do it here, therefore, it's not going to help that the fact that you could do it from the produce that you have in your house. To which the Gemara asks, but v'lif shalom minei be, you're right. Let him take off truma right here. In other words, you had this like large 2 mils worth of truma. You should be able to make an erev out of it because you could do the same process like a nazir does by wine. That you could be shayel on it and find the heter and say, you know what, I want this to be reverted back to tevel, that it wasn't truma. It was a mistake. I want to take truma from elsewhere. So now once it becomes back to tevel, truma, you're yoytze with kol shu, all you have to do is take off just a tiny amount. So now that all this was truma, now you could take off a tiny amount, then it's going to be kosher to be able to consume it, and then you misaken it. So therefore, why don't you say that it has a way of fixing it by reverting back to tevel, and then you'll be able to take off, hypothetically, from the produce itself, a little bit for truma. To which the Gemara answers, "Deles bashi'ura." We're talking about that there is not enough. We're talking about that the person has exactly 2 meals worth of truma over there. And if he's going to be taking off truma from it, even a tiny amount, it's going to be lacking the shear of the erev because you're going to have now a little bit less than 2 meals worth and it won't be a kosher erev. To which the Gemara responds, "Umay paska, what type of an answer is this? Did the Tana say specifically in the words that he's saying that this that you cannot put an erev of truma was toman only when you make exactly 2 meals worth? In other words, why? Who said anywhere he said that you can't make an erev out of truma? That sounds like even if it's more than 2 meals worth. Your whole answer is only based on the principle it would be exactly 2 meals worth. So therefore the Gemara says, Elam, that's not true. The reason why it doesn't help to be shoyel on truma, although that going back to the question that we asked, although it seems that Simchas allows a nazir to make a erev out of wine because you could be shoyel on your neder of naziris, so too the same thing should apply by truma. And that the Gemara answers, the reason why it won't work by truma is for a different problem. Because Sumchis Savol Karbanan, Sumchis holds like the opinion of their banan, the army that they say called Davar Shuhu Mishum Shvus, anything that is usher because of an Isidra Abanan, Gazru Lav Ben Ashmashes, that they did decree on it regarding Ben Ashmashes, and that is the Rabban argue on Rebbe later on in the Parakan of Lamed Dal Lamed Beis, and that they say they consider the period of twilight of Ben Ashmashes on Friday night like Shabbos itself, and therefore since elevating Truma out of the produce, that is Tevel, is a Issa Drabban Netishvos. And therefore, since originally you were not Mesakin it, and now you want to say that it would be fit at that time because you could be Shoyel on the Truma, and wherever it is, and then it's going to go revert back to Tevel, and then you what you want to do, and then take Truma from the northern part of that area, and Maisarishan from the south, and so to all the different things that you have to take off to make it kosher. But that's a problem, because then that's what's called Mesakin. You're going to be rectifying it Bein HaShmashes, and then you're going to be over on the Shvus, and to have the acquisition of the Erev at the same time, that will not work because you cannot be over Isidra Banan, but even by Bein HaShmashes, which exactly at the time when the Erev is Kaina, and that's why you cannot consider it as if it's fit, because you cannot do that. You cannot do this process of then taking off the Truma, because that is Isidra Banan, and that's Aser even by Bein HaShmashes. Whereas again, by Nazba Yain, there it doesn't have the same problem as you have by taking off Truma from something that reverts back to Tevel to then rectify it that way. So on this topic, the Gemara asks, "Kaman ozla hoditnan." So who does the Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim go like? That says, "Yesha amru," that there are some things that they said, that the measurement is, "Hakoy lefi mashuhu adam," exactly according to what type of a person he is. In other words, it's not an equal share by everybody. It depends on the size of the person. And that is, "Malaykumtze mincha." A person's fistful for a mincha, a flower, depends on how big the kohen's fist is. Similarly, a malaychafn of keteris, a fistful of keteris that was brought on Yom Kippur, again, according to the size of the kohen gadol. Vashayse malaylugma of b'yom kippur, when someone that drinks a cheekful on Yom Kippur, it depends on the person's cheeks. Ubemazn shtei su'dais le'erev, and for the meal's worth of 2 meals, of the halach of erev, again, depends on that person, how much he eats for 2 meals worth. So the Gemara says, "Come on, who is this like this Mishnah Kalim?" Amar Bezeir is Sumchasi. It's obvious, like Sumchas that we just mentioned before. The Amar Ma'id Chazi Lebin, that he says you have to have what's fit for the person, and that's why he says that it's aser as long as it's not fit for that person. In other words, he said it doesn't work by Truma for Yisrael, because although other people could eat it, Kohanim could eat it, but he can't eat it. So if I can't eat it, I can't make an erev out of it. In other words, it has to be something fit for me. That's the same concept that we find that regarding the meal of 2 meals worth of an erev has to be exactly according to each individual what's fit for him. If it's fit for other people, that won't work. It has to be fit for him. To which the Gemara says, "Lema pliga de Rishim Elazar." Let's say that this opinion of Sumchas argues in Rishim Elazar. The time, like we learned, the Brisa Rishim Elazar Omer, "Ma'arvin l'chaylu l'zaken g'day mezayne." You can make an erev for a sick person, an elderly person, according to the meals that they eat, which is much less possibly than a regular person. "Ularavsin besu de beinit shel kol adam." And regarding a glutton, that he doesn't have to make an erev according to how much he eats, which is a lot, rather according to the meals of every single person. So that seems to contradict the opinion of Simchas that says, no, you would have to go according to the Rafs and how much he eats, because it's everyone according to what's fit for him. To which the Gemara answers, no. Tirguma, you could interpret this that we said from Simchas, that the shear will be totally in each person himself, that was going on a sick person and an elderly person, which that Rav Shimon Elazar agrees that would go leniently, that would go according to them. However, it's not going on the case of the glutton and stringently. Why? Because Achayla V'Zakin was saying this. Aval Ravsin, but Ladaita Itzkal Adam, but regarding a glutton, we say a different halachic concept that even Simchas would agree to Rav Shimon Elazar, that we say that his intention, the way he conducts himself is batal, is nullified, regards to the majority of the world, that no one eats as much as he does. Therefore, even he would not need, and even Simchas would agree, that he would not need to have how much he normally eats, but how much regular people eat. Rather, it's as Simchas and Reb Shem Elazar both agree, by the Chayil and the Zakum, where that's normal for that type of a person to eat that amount. And therefore, both of them agree that we go according to that person, that you only need that amount, but not more than that. Well, then we wouldn't go according to everybody. But regarding the case of the Rav, it's not a contradiction, because Simchas would agree because of the concept of batal daita etzikalad. Then the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said, ulukoyin bebeis hapras, that a koyin can even have, although we said that two components of the area, it has to be food fit for the person, it also has to be an area where it's fit for him, in the same area of where his shvis is, we said a koyin can have his area in a beis hapras, which seems to be a difficulty on Sumchis, because Sumchis said it has to be fit for the person. And again, if it's going to be in the area where he can't get to, because a kohen's not allowed to walk in the Beis HaPras, so then how can he have his eruv there? To which the Gemara addresses and says, "Dam Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul minapeach odem Beis HaPras of Ha'ilach." A person, a kohen, could blow in the Beis HaPras and he could walk. In other words, there is a permitted way. That is, the Beis HaPras is a field that there was a grave that was there that was plowed over, and now the whole entire area is a suffix because maybe there are bones there. And bones without flesh does not convey tumah with oil by just walking over. And also, when you blow it in front of where you're walking, if there's a large bone, so you see it by itself and you won't step on it. And if it's a small bone, you see it when you blow, and therefore you're not going to move it with your leg. And that's why it is fit for a kohen to put his eruv there, because possibly it is fit for him, theoretically, for him to walk there. Another clarification, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami mishmed Rabbi Yehuda amar, because beis hapras shenidash, this beis hapras, when it's threshed, in other words, when people continuously walk over it, tahar, it's considered tahar, because since the bones were already crushed by thresh, by people stepping on it, now it's less than the shear of a sa'ar, than a barley corn, that's not going to be a problem anyway for the kohen to go there, and therefore, again, he's allowed to have his eruv over there in that area. Then the Mishnah, then the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that says, Rabbi Yehuda amar, av beis hakfaras. He says even more than Tanna Kamma. He says you can even have the kohen's eruv in the cemetery, where obviously the kohen's not allowed to go. So what's the explanation? How could he have his eruv in the cemetery? So Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Neshayachal Lochot Velelech, Beshay Detev and Migdal. Because he can separate himself and go into the cemetery, how? With a carriage, with a box, and with a closet. And on that, the Gemara explains that obviously the town of our Mishnah, Kasavar Oihel Zark, that he holds, that a moving tent, that is something that is not in one area, Shmei Oil, it's still considered a tent, that is, it will still be chaitzis, it will still interpose and separate between him and the Tumah, although it's moving, and then you would say possibly that we can consider it a oil, because to separate between the Tumah and the person has to be oil, still obviously they hold that even if it's oil zarek, it's moving, it's still considered oil, and it separates between the Kayan and the Tumah that's in the Beis HaKfaris, and therefore he is fit to get into the Beis HaKfaris somehow. As the Gemara says, that the town of Amishon is obviously taking one side of the machlekas of the Tanoim in the following brisa. The town like Luna brisa, hanichnis la'eretz ha'am. If someone enters into the lands of the nations, which conveys tumah with oil, in other words, if you're hovering over that land of the nations, it conveys tumah to you. But if someone enters b'sheda with a box, which is a type of a wagon that women would go into, that's made in the shape of a box, teva or a literal box, umigdal and a closet. So Rebbe mitami, Rebbe says that the person will become tami. Rebbe Yehuda mitari says the person will stay tahar. What are they arguing about? The principle we just spoke about before. The marasava, Rebbe holds that the person becomes tami, he holds oil, zarek, lavshmi oil. That although a tent interposes between tuma and the person, but when it's moving, it's not considered oil. And therefore, whatever is not oil does not separate. Marasava, but Rebbe Yehuda held that the person will be tahar. He holds, like the town of Amishna, that oil zarek shmei oil, that a moving tent is considered oil, and therefore it separates. And Rashi says that we're obviously talking about a very large box that would contain 40 saw of liquid, which is a 2 kor of solids, because it would be smaller than that. It would be considered a vessel, and the vessel is mekabel tumah, and it would not separate. So Rashi concludes, and he says that the Rabbana of our Mishnah, that they say that it's usher for the kohen to put in the Beis HaKfaris, and they don't agree to Rebbe Yehuda's heter of even in the Beis HaKfaris. They hold like Rebbe, that it's an oil zarek, and therefore it's not an oil to separate, and therefore the kohen cannot have his eruv in the Beis HaKfaris. However, Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbana of the Braisa we just quoted, they obviously hold like Sumchas, that they say that it has to be something that's fit for the person right now, but then their machlekes will depend if oil zarek shmei oil or not.